Just look to Jesus.
You look to Jesus.
Just look to Jesus now.
To Jesus.
I know he's the one.
He's the one.
I know he's
the only one.
Look to Jesus now.
Hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Raw Spiel, where we keep it real with the hard truth. I'm just very glad we have a special guest on today, none other than Mr. Arthur Kroon of the Soul Stirrers, or the guitarist from the, let me see, what's that, the 1989 class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Soul Stirrers. We have with us the guitarist. If I got my date right, he was with the Soul Stirrers in 1965. Y'all want y'all to help me welcome none other than the legendary Arthur Kroon himself. So, Mr. Kroon, how you doing today, sir?
Speak up louder.
He said, how are you doing today?
Oh, that's good. I'll tell you, it's a... Yes, sir. I tell you, it's a real pleasure to speak to you. I've enjoyed your music down through the years. Enjoy the Soul Stirrers. I definitely enjoy your style of playing. So I got to tell you, sir, it's a real honor to get a chance to even speak to you on this evening. And I just want to get the first question I have for you, Mr. Kroon. How did you get started in your music career? How did everything get started for you?
He said, "How did everything get started for you in your musical career?"
That's a long time ago, man. I know it's hard to remember when you are maybe as long as I've been.
Mm-hmm.
So, I used to be the bus driver for the group, and when the manager left that group, they left it with me. So that's how I got started with the group, by being the bus driver.
But you were also the guitarist for the Soul Stirrers for many years, correct?
Yeah, I was everything. I could do all of them. I was a guitarist, and I was the left me with the set, all of the programs up and all of that. I had to do all of that. It was a job.
But you also started out singing in your career, Arthur, with the Kroon Brothers, am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Y'all had a gospel group.
Yeah, we have a gospel group, but I can't remember how we got started with the Kroon Brothers. Because we were young children then.
And your brother, AC, taught you all how to play instruments, correct?
Yeah, he taught us how to play the instruments, how to sing.
And that's how Kroon Brothers came about.
Yeah.
Their oldest brother, A.C. Kroon, got them all together.
His right name is Amos.
Amos, right.
Amos, okay. Kroon taught us all how to sing and sing right. Mm-hmm. If you didn't sing right, you'll know it, because he'll go upside your head.
Now you hear that.
but it was all fun after we learned. So
your first group wasn't really the Soul Stirrers. You were singing with the
Kroon Brothers.
Yeah, but weren't you singing with the QCs at one time?
The Highway
QCs, that's correct.
Yeah, we was together. I wasn't with them, but we sang on the same program.
Okay.
The Highway QCs, okay. Soul Stars, and whatever.
Hey, so did the Croom Brothers, did they record any albums?
Yes, they did. Uh-huh. Oh, they had some recordings, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. And you spoke of the Soul Stirrers. Any way you can tell us, how did you connect with the Soul Stirrers?
How did you connect with the Soul Stirrers?
Well, it's been so long ago.
His brother, Leroy Croom?
Yes, ma'am.
His brother, Leroy Croom, was already with the Soul Stirrers. He and Sam Cooke were at the same high school and were singing around together. And so when, was it R.H. Harris?
Yeah.
R.H. Harris was the one that was pretty much originating with the group. And Leroy was already there with the Soul Stirrers. And during that time, there was Paul Foster. Mm-hmm. And
S.R. Crane,
and a lot of them that were already there. R.B. Robinson, all of them were there. And so Leroy, his brother, was already with the Soul Stirrers.
Okay.
So guitar player with the
And the Croom Brothers were very popular, from what my husband Dillard always said, was very popular because they were the first to come out on the road that had the electric guitars.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
A lot of groups were involved were trying to recruit them for them playing those electric guitars.
Right. And I want to get this clear. And those that be watching this on YouTube, so you are the widow of Dillard Croom, right?
I'm the widow of Dillard Croom. That's right.
Okay.
He died in 2008.
And you have your daughter
with
you?
Leroy followed. Leroy died 2 years later, yes.
Okay. Okay, that's for the ones that's when they're watching this video on YouTube. But we're speaking with the legendary Mr. Arthur Croom of the Soul Stirrers, guitars since 1965. I'll tell you, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I have another question. I know that there was a split, I guess, like somewhere around the 70s. If you remember, any way you have any could you tell us like what caused the split? You know that you had the Croom Brothers set up the Soul Stirrers, then you have your Willie Rogers set. So any way you can give us a little insight on what caused that split between the Soul Stirrers?
Do you know what caused the split, Arthur? That was between the Soul Stirrers, why they formed two different groups?
Let me see, man. That's been 100 years ago. I don't know. So let me see.
Pardon, Jacob.
I know what Dillard Croom, that was my brother.
That was before then. We're talking about an era. That was with Martin Jacob, and with the Rogers Neal.
How did your set, Arthur Croom and the Soul Stirrers, and the other set, why did they split?
Why did y'all form two different
sets?
I can't remember.
I think what happened, he says he can't remember. I think what happened during that era, you had J.J. Farley that was heading the group, the Soul Stirrers, at that time, the group that was the original Soul Stirrers, which Arthur was a part of, as well as Leroy was. And then J.J. Farley passed away, but he left Arthur in charge of the Soul Stirrers. Arthur became the manager, and he left all rights to Arthur. So Arthur is the original owner of the Soul Stirrers now. And so during that time, you know, there were numerous guys that had appeared with the Soul Stirrers down through the years, which was like, what's his name from Augusta? it was Martin Jacob, and then it was Willie Rogers and all of them. So mm-hmm. during that time, because Mr. J.J. Farley had passed on, I guess they felt like that they had just as much rights to the group as Arthur did. So that's what caused the split. That's what caused the split, as many of the groups today that are out there on the road, you find some of them, the original people are gone, and you find two sets of folk out there on the road not traveling. But Arthur had the rights to all, to the Soul Stirrers, the original Soul Stirrers. And as I said, during that time, according to the history that I've been made privy of by being married into the family, that they were pretty much Willie Rogers and Martin Jacobs and them. They went on to form another group of the Soul Stirrers. But at the Awards Academy, they were at that point, two, some of them were there, the two sets were there. But Arthur has always had the notoriety and the rights to the Soul Stirrers. And he has the paperwork from the attorneys and everything. So that's when the Arthur and Leroy and them took it over and went on with the Soul Stirrers, naming themselves the original Soul Stirrers.
Okay, that explains. I really appreciate that explanation. Like I said, you know, as you were saying, like in today's time, we have, you know, multiple sets of gospel keynotes.
Right,
multiple
exactly.
Sets of Bollinaire.
Yeah.
Yes, and it just sometimes I just wonder what happened there for it, like I said, when the core members, though, they pass off, that's when it seemed like it's, you know,
exactly.
Everything just goes
exactly.
wild. But it seemed exactly. like the way you spoke, like Mr. J.J. Farley had something, you know, he handed it down to Mr. Croon.
He handed it down to Arthur. Correct.
Yes,
correct. He has his paperwork. Yes, yeah. He has his paperwork and everything that is giving him legal rights to all of that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to thank you for sharing some light on that. And Mr. I know down through the years, I know definitely Leroy, Mr. Leroy Croon had a pretty good working relationship with Sam Cooke. And I just wanted Mr. Arthur Croon, were you pretty close with Sam Cooke the way your brothers were? And if so, could you share some memories of Sam Cooke if you even had a working relationship with him?
Arthur, he's asking you, did you have any relationships or any dealings with Sam Cooke himself? We know that Leroy did. He and Leroy were real close because they were at, what's the name of the school? Is it DuSable? That was in Chicago. They went to high school together.
I remember. Was it Cooley High? I think they went to school together. It was Cooley High in Chicago, Illinois. Michael Leroy and Sam Cooke went to school together.
When I had a dealing with Sam, he was doing rock and roll.
Okay, did you hear that, Mr. Robinson?
Yes, ma'am, he was.
Yeah, at the time that he got acquainted with Sam, he was doing rock and roll. But you have to remember that the families, the Cooke family, as well as the Croom family, have always had ties together.
Oh, yes.
They were all children of ministers. Okay, Sam Cooke's father was a minister, as well as the Croom brothers' father was a minister, who they were good friends up in Chicago. They were good friends together. They came from the South and migrated to Chicago, and they were all good friends together.
Okay, yes. I'll tell you, this is some rich history here, but with those two families, you know, I tell you, very rich history. I guess all three of you can answer this too. Could you share what are your most memorable moments as being a Soul Stirrer, Mr. Croom, and all three of you can answer this. What are some of the things like down through the years that's very memorable since you've been a part of these Soul Stirrers?
He's asking you, do you have any fond memories while traveling with the Soul Stirrers. Do you have anything right now you would like to mention as a fond memory of your being with the Soul Stirrers?
Yeah, it's been so long ago when I went about the R.H. Harris was there, met their manager then, and they didn't talk to, well, little, they call us little guys. They didn't talk to us that much. We just had to be on the side listening to pick up all of the stuff they were saying.
Yes.
That's how we began to learn all of these things. We'd be right in the back listening at them tell all of the lies and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all right, y'all. We're speaking with Mr. Arthur Croom. He's the lead guitarist for the legendary Soul Stirrers. And again, y'all, it's just an honor to, you know, speak with a living legend. And I'm gonna, if you can, if you remember, I just wanna throw a few names out there and to see, just you know, share whatever memories you have, whatever memories or stories you might want to share about them. Let's start with J.J. Farley. What can you tell us about Mr. Farley, or any memories of him that stands out that you want to, you know, share with us?
Did you understand what he was asking you, Arthur? Mm-hmm. He said, do you have any memories, fond memories of whatever, something that stands out or stood out with J.J. Farley, Mr. Farley?
J.J. Farley.
Describe him. Just tell me about J.J.
Not too many, because my memory is not good as it used to be. So I think of those things every once in a while, and I don't know.
Mr. Farley was, what part did he sing? Was he baritone, bass, or what?
J.J. Farley was the bass singer.
The bass singer, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. And he was the manager at one time, right?
Yeah.
J.J. Farley, he was the manager, yes.
He was the manager. And he kept all them things to himself, because he didn't want it to get out what he know to the other people. So,
okay.
All righty.
Not that much anyway.
All righty. Yeah, then, if you don't mind too, I'm sorry about this here. What about Mr. Martin J. Cox? Could you share some about him? If you remember any good memories about the late Martin J. Cox, how was he off stage or things of that nature?
Do you remember Martin J. Cox?
Do you have any memories of Martin J. Cox?
Oh yeah.
Okay, tell Mr. Robinson about the memory of Martin J. Cox.
Been so long. What Martin used to do with us?
He's the same with you all.
I know he used to sing, but what Jay Cox to
Martin
try to see what part he sung.
He sung lead.
Martin used to.
What was the song that he always sung? Was it Rest and Easy?
I suppose. I don't know.
He can't remember that. He said,
yeah.
Remember all that stuff.
Yeah,
that was one of them.
Yes. He was Martin J. Cox was kind of noted for singing, and he would, you know, do all those funny sounds and weird sounds that he would make while he was singing, and shaking his head and everything, and trembling his lips and everything. So people knew Martin because you know, he was kind of a showman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
okay. And And the Soul Stirrers were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I believe in 1989, So Mr. Croom, so when you found out the Soul Stirrers were going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I mean, what did that mean to the group? What did that mean to you to have the Soul Stirrers going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? What kind of impact did it have on you and the group?
What kind of impact? How did you feel about being inducted into the Hall of Fame? Into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? You remember when you all went?
Well, you sung Long As Men and Done Everything and done been every place and still going it when he want to. It just don't, he's just used to all of that.
But did you feel good about being inducted?
Yeah, I feel good about it, but you just take it like it is. I don't know how to say it, but I'm just grateful.
It's being grateful. He has a lot of paraphernalia around that alludes to them being inducted into the Hall of Fame and pictures and stuff like that. So, and he has his caretaker that comes, and when she does, when they do come, he shows a lot of his stuff off to them. He's got his guitar back there that was given to him by B.B. King, and he shows that off to everybody. And so one of the nurses said, "You better quit telling everybody of all the stuff that you have." But he's proud of it. He's proud of his accomplishment.
I have a guitar I had made myself. That boy costs over $2,000. Yeah. So I don't show it too much.
Yeah, that was pretty rich for that time in that area.
It's rich now.
Yeah.
My goodness, huh?
Yeah,
I'll play some.
I don't feel that one too much.
Yeah.
Oh wow! That's amazing. I tell you, wow, that's something. I played guitar myself, Mr. Croom, and I tell you, when I first started learning, you know, I listened to my own father play, and I listened to all kind of quartets. Listened to the Pilgrim Jubilee, the Dixie Hummers, be doing. I just try to play what he's playing. So he's, I tell you, it's just, y'all don't understand, it's just an honor, you know, to just be sitting here speaking to a legend. And how old are you now? About 93 now?
He's 93. How old
are you? I am 93 years old.
All right.
It's in July, I'll be 94.
Yes, exactly. He's correct with that.
All right.
And he's amazing. He doesn't take any medications at all.
No,
nothing. Not even an aspirin. And he's mobile by himself, and he lives here in this home by himself. And he's doing real good, real good. Yeah, to be 93 years of age. He is the oldest. He's the only one that's alive.
Last brother.
And from that era of the Soul Stirrers, you know, that was the original part of it. Yes.
Yes.
And out of his brothers, all the brothers are gone, and all of his siblings are gone. So he is the only one that is left. Yeah, the only one that is left. Mm-hmm. But some of the guys, Frank and the other guy, George, that's going to zoom in, they're carrying the group on. Arthur has given them authorization to carry the group on. And Frank sung with the group for a number of years, and so did George. Uh-huh. When Leroy and Dillard and all of them were here, they sung with them down and did recordings with them down through the years. And so those are the only fellows that I can think of right now that is trying to carry on that were actually with the group, with Luther Gamble and Eddie Huffman. And all of them, and Leroy and all of them, those are the only guys that were from that era right now. Yeah.
Okay, and I'm so glad the I'm glad they're carrying on the torch.
Yes, as a matter of fact, they have a program tonight. They're in what part? They're in North Carolina tonight. The Soul Stirrers in there tonight, and they're carrying on in the same tradition that Arthur and Dillard and Leroy and all of them carried on in, as well as Sam Cooke era. They're still singing the same songs that were sung during those eras.
Oh, good. Now I'm glad to hear that. You know, I was hoping it was come on here. You know, I listen to a lot of I guess in certain social medias, some people have the discussions on, you know, mainly on quartet music, and some people had the notion that I guess at a certain point people ought to retire the name, not necessarily the Soul Stirrers. I think they were talking about a group like the Keynotes and Bolinaires. You know, there's just so many of them out there, and they feel a man. You hear people say, okay, y'all should just in the Swanee Quintet, but they y'all just go ahead and retire the name. Y'all are some good singers and things of that nature. But I'm glad to hear Mr. Frank Davis is keeping that alive. You know,
keeping the
Soul Stirrers name alive.
Yes.
Me, in my opinion, I don't think he's just throwing no legacy to the side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are very quick to throw away old things or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we got, it just kind of concerns me to hear people say, just retire the name, just let them go. No, just if y'all can carry it on, do it the right way.
Absolutely. Because you know, we're listening to music today. That's a more contemporary style of music, but you still have people that are around, and not so much as the older heads, or you have the younger generation too, who still love the old music,
right?
And they gravitate to those songs, and there were songs like "Touch the Hem of His Garment," and all those songs, and
"Rest
in Ease" and "Be with Me, Jesus," and stuff. Those songs will live on forever, I feel like, because here where we live, there's a young man here in this town here that my husband, Dillard, as well as Arthur, taught how to play the guitar. And he debuts quite often. He debuts even today, singing songs that they sung and practiced and working with him, teaching him how to play the guitar. He told us the other day he fell in love with the Soul Stir music and Stand By Me Father and all those songs, and he sings them, and the house goes up into smoke here now, even to this day. And so they've left a legacy, even Sam Cooke and, you know, all of those, you know, Johnny Taylor was with the group as well, all of those that have come before. And the Soul Stirrers and have been before Arthur and during Arthur's time, they've left a legacy with people of music that will play on forever. It's just like the secular music of Sam Cooke. You go in the department stores, you go in Walmart, it's nothing new to us to hear Sam Cooke's voice still hanging around.
And you listen the music to the movies till this day.
Right.
Put music still lives forever, especially in the movie Key Valley. I was watching and they had The Last Mile of the Way, and I was like, oh my gosh, it still lives to this day.
Yes, it does. I tell you, I like what you said. The younger people like the old stuff. I'm just thinking back when I was like in my teenage years. Even before I was a teenager, you know, I grew up around quartet. Even when I was, I think I was like 14 when I started playing the guitar. Guess what I listened to? I'm talking about the old stuff. Soul Stirrers. Old Swan Silvertone. Old Dixie Hummingbirds. Old Pilgrim Jubilee. I was a teenager listening to that. And they have teenagers in today's time. They like that old stuff too.
Right. Yes. Right.
And so
yes.
So they can go on somewhere talking about quartet is only for 50 yes. and above. They got some youngsters yes. out there.
Yes.
That
it was a type of music that soothed your soul, you know. Oh, yeah. And they always said that music soothes the soul, and preachers save the soul. But in music that soothes the soul, that old music like that, it was the words that was formed, the writing. And you have to know that the Croom Brothers wrote a lot of songs. Yes. They have a library of songs that will mm-hmm. live on. And Rest and Easy was one that my husband wrote. And I've noticed that lately choirs are singing it. Even the younger quartets are singing Rest and Easy. So,
and a lot of them still singing Be With Me, Jesus.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's another one I can't recall. Oh, yeah, Touch to Him in His Garment. They're still singing that today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I could tell you this. Now, I used to be in a quartet. I'm originally from Louisiana. Now, when I was from in Louisiana, we did Rest and Easy.
All right.
Yeah,
We sang it today.
Yes, I tell you. So that's one of the songs that'll stick. And I'm glad you're talking about who wrote the song. I wanted to ask Mr. Croom who were the primary songwriters for the Soul Stirrers. I know Leroy.
I think they all were writers. And that was mm-hmm. one of the good things about the Croom Brothers. Yeah, they Rufus was one of the soul stirrers too, but he passed before any of them. And so Rufus wrote songs, and Arthur wrote, Leroy wrote, as well as Dylan. They all were musicians and songwriters.
Right.
And they wrote many of those tunes after Sam left. Many of the songs that you do hear, it was some of their writings as well. Mm-hmm.
All right. And here we have Mr. Arthur Croom of the Soul Stirrers, joined by the widow of Dilla Croom and Mr. Dilla's daughter. So I can't tell you how glad I am to be talking to a legend here. if you don't mind, the book, The Perfect Song, I tell you, I was browsing online maybe a few years back, and I happened to come across that. I said, man, Arthur Croom done wrote a book out here. So if you can, could you tell people what this book is about, what to expect whenever they decide to get them a copy of it?
Your book, The Perfect Song, what inspired you to write the book and name it The Perfect Song? Arthur. Mm-hmm. Your book, the book that you wrote, The Perfect Song, what inspired you to write that book?
Oh, it's hard to remember that stuff. I could write off the hand like that. I'm an old man now. I'll be 100 years old in a minute.
I hear you.
Okay. Mr. Robinson, we do have George on the line too, I think.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes.
Frankie. Yeah.
We have Frank and George with the Soul Stirrers. They're on the line as well.
How y'all guys doing?
We're doing well. We're in the midst of doing a service as we speak, so we got bad connection here. But we are still keeping the legacy going on that our brother and I would say my father, Arthur Croom, we still going on trying to keep the legacy going on.
Oh, yes. I'm glad you're keeping that legacy alive. But I want to ask you this question. We just, I don't know if you caught this, but, is there, there's some people that, I guess, legendary groups like, like these Swanee Quintet, the gospel keynotes and Volunteers. Some there are people out there calling for them to just retire the name and go by something else. Now, if somebody And again, I'm glad y'all keeping this Soul Stirrers sound alive. But if somebody was to approach you, Mr. Davis and George, and say, hey, y'all sound good, but why don't y'all just retire the Soul Stirrers name and do your own thing? What would you tell them?
Well, me personally, I would love to keep the name going on because I was with Arthur, Dillard, Rufus for so many years. Mm-hmm. And I can't let it see it just go just like that. Right now, our audience that we be performing in front of, they still love the traditional sound, and we still want to keep it that way.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm grateful to hear that. You know, these like I said earlier on, people are very quick to, you know, want to throw away the old groups. You know, like I said, I think there's room for both. There's room for the new, and there's still room for the old. And I just,
right.
It's kind of sad. Some folks want to just, you know, just. One would want to take the legendary groups and just, oh, the legends, they don't have their time. It's time for them to move out the way. No, there's room for everybody out here, if you ask me.
Yep, that's right.
Yes, sir. We have, Mr. Whom am I speaking to, Mr. Davis?
Well, you're speaking to George Kelly. This is Mr. Davis right here.
Oh, okay.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing this time. This question just for either one of you. Could you share with the people listening, like, what are some of your most memorable moments since you've been with the Soul Stirrers? What is something that stands out to you? Something that may have happened down through the years since you've been with the Soul Stirrers?
When we went to Europe, mm-hmm. went to Italy, we went there. We went twice. We went there. We toured. We did 15 shows, and then every show was sold out. And that was one of the big moments that we had. It was 2,000 or 3,000 people every night. The whole tour was sold out. When me and George was over there, we did a tour in Italy, and then we flew in and did something in Switzerland. So that's one great moment for us, you know, of the whole our whole tour sold out for the soldiers of Europe. You know, we'll never forget that. Me and George and James and Dylan and all y'all, we'll never forget nothing like that. That was a great moment that we did have.
Oh yeah,
I was on one of the tours over in Europe.
Oh yeah, I remember you. Yeah,
Frank, you remember that? And I'd never been in Europe on a tour with them like that.
Yeah.
And they had an interpreter and everything. But we went to that school, Frank. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
And,
yeah.
We got there, and I kept thinking, I was like, wow. And it was so much, you know, just jubilation and, I mean, just admiration for the Soul Stirrers that particular night. And I thought to, I was like, they're acting like they're Michael Jackson or somebody. It was just, and the children that were there, they was just so excited, and they was just so, I mean, and I think they were singing some songs that were done in Italian and some in French or whatever it was, and the children was just like, wow.
Yeah.
And then Arthur said, music is universal. It's universal. Mm-hmm. Singing is universal.
That's right.
And it's that spirit that you get. And I thought to her, I had never seen, people who just, I don't know whether they understood English or not, but they were so excited to see the Soul Stirrers. Yes.
Yeah, you couldn't even hear yourself singing.
Yeah, exactly. That's- exactly. It was so much jubilation there, yeah.
And
for the
autograph, it was just something. We'll never forget that.
Yes, yes. That was something to see, yes.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good to hear. This sound like that's how it is. It seems like you receive better overseas sometimes, you know, even your own country don't even realize what they have. But
yes, like, exactly.
Folks on the outside, they gravitate to it. And it just,
exactly.
It works out that way.
A lot of people in Europe, they don't let old music die.
Oh yeah.
But here you do an old saying, it's forgotten, but here over there, they don't let old music die. You know, right today over there now, you sing "Oh Happy Day," the people lose their minds, won't they, George?
Exactly.
You sing it right here. There you go, get some up to date. See, but over there, you hit that song, they lose their mind and go crazy.
Exactly.
See, they don't let old music die.
Oh yeah, I can believe that. I know even over in the around the UK area, I know especially blues music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like over in the UK. Matter of fact, some years ago, a guy was trying to book me over at the UK because back then I had a thing about flying. You couldn't get me on no plane back in the day, but from what I understood, you know, over the UK, you know, the kind of way I play, I got like an old style of playing. That's very, very popular over there. So it's just amazing, you know what you were saying, how old music overseas, it doesn't die. But
it does.
Over here in America, you know, everything is hip hop. You got to,
yes.
You got to put a little spin to it.
Yes.
Yeah. And when we speak of, yeah, two other brothers, you know, Leroy Croom and Dilla Croom, you know, they're passed on. And as far as, I guess, you, Davis and George and Mr. Arthur, do y'all mind like sharing what did Dylan and Leroy bring to the Soul Stirrers?
Oh, they wrote good music.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan wrote some beautiful songs, and Arthur Croon did too. They wrote some beautiful music. Rest in Peace, Dylan wrote that, and God is Standing By, Arthur. Well, these guys wrote a lot of, some people didn't know that they did, but they wrote some. A lot of reading for the Soul Stirrers. And he love of God for Johnny Taylor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they wrote a credit music for the group back in the day. They did.
Oh, yeah.
Leroy wrote songs for me and stuff, and it was when Dilly wrote songs. It was really something that we can be riding, going to another town, and Dilly be sitting in the bed with a pen, and he'd be writing a song just like it's black as nothing, you know.
Goodness gracious. Hmm. Yeah, that's a gift there.
Song for me, he just can write.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so great about them. Not only could they write the words, but they could write the music notes, you know. And I've seen them do that so much, you know. They could write their own music style and everything, you know. And it was amazing to me. And after I married into the family, and the brothers would all get together, and they would sing. And they had that harmony without music and everything. And it was just like, you know, they say they were taught to sing with harmony. And they had that harmony. And that's what was even today, not to discredit anybody. But that was one of the things when the group split. I had people to say that, you know, when they listened to the music, we want the music with those with the crew, because that music harmonized, and that music, those voices harmonized and everything. And they were sticky for that, to make sure, even when Dylan was a little ill, he came off the road and he started playing in my church. And he would rehearse the choir, and he would always say, "Y'all got to get harmony." And he would say, "Pretty much, if you can't sing with harmony, y'all can't sing. You can't sing."
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it was. And Frank and George, you all knew that. He made sure that everybody sung with harmony.
You won't tell her that we can't say, "Frank, that ain't sweet."
Yes, indeed.
Characters, but they were genuine characters. They said what they meant, and they meant what they said.
All right. That's right.
Yeah. All right.
Because we got to go inside to get dressed.
Okay.
I guess we have more time, but we are next. They got one group ahead of us, and they on right now. So thank you for your time. We appreciate you guys. Love you guys, and we're going to continue to keep the legacy of Arthur Crew's legendary soul stir. We, through the grace of God, we're going to keep it going.
Before you log off, do you got any like booking information, or just in case somebody want to book you, you got a number or something that somebody could reach out to you if they want the soul stirs in their town?
Yeah. They can reach me at area code 919. What's my number, Frank? 627-5171.
627-5171.
Get that number.
919-627-5171. All right. I appreciate Frank Davis and George for joining us. I know y'all got to go on stage, and I thank you guys for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. We almost about to wrap up here. I just wonder if there's anything that Mr. Arthur Croom want to add about his brothers that he might want to share about Mr. Dillard and Leroy.
Anything you want to add about your brothers and all of them or whatever? Anything you want to say about them?
No, I can't think of nothing right now.
Okay. But one last question here. Mr. Arthur.
Okay.
What were you saying?
No, he said, go ahead.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Do you, is there any quartet groups that you're, are you listening to any other current groups coming up, or have you had a chance to listen to any of the up and coming quartet groups?
Are you listening now to any of the new quartet groups, Arthur?
No, I don't listen to them too much anymore.
Okay.
Because, when you know everything, you just know it, and get tired of hearing it over and over and over. But when somebody want to know something, they ask me. If I want them to know it, I let them know. If I don't, I walk away.
Yeah. He's spending his latter days, Mr. Robertson, pretty much just sitting and watching old westerns, okay, television. Sitting on the front porch in the rocking chair, and he's pretty much a quiet man now. He's at that age now. We're in that. He's tuned out a lot of things. Yeah, he's tuned out a lot of things.
Paid to sit on the porch.
He gets paid to sit on the porch. He said, and with his BB gun shooting squirrels.
I heard that, man. Yeah. Sit back and rest. Oh yeah, I got one last thing that I will let y'all go.
Okay.
Mr. Croom, did you have any advice for? Well, I know you don't listen to any up and coming groups to now, but what advice would you give to a gospel artist who's want to make a living singing gospel? What advice would you give them if somebody asks you, Mr. Croom, what can I do to make it in a gospel field? Well, what kind of advice would you share with them?
Did you understand what he was saying? What kind of advice do you have for the younger groups that want to come on the road and go out and make a name for themselves? What kind of advice would you give to them?
I don't know. They gotta be real.
Gotta be real. Gotta be real. Amen.
Gotta be real.
That's it.
Right thing.
That's it.
Treat everybody right.
That's it. That's it.
I'll tell you. Well, Everybody, I want to thank you for tuning in. Mr. Kroon, you have any closing remarks, and you and your daughter, anything else y'all want to say before we get out of here?
No more than I thank you all for taking the time out, Mr. Robinson, to interview him. He's had a long life of being involved in gospel music ever since they were children. Their father was a minister. They were the choir. And he had two sisters that did live. And down through the years in their father's ministry as a minister, they were the musicians and the choir. Yeah. And so he's been around music all his life, all of them. That's all that they know. And, Sam Cooke's brother, LC, came down to visit us on numerous occasions and would stay with us. Mm-hmm. And they fell in love with each other as minister's children. Mm-hmm. And LC would not go back until he saw all the brothers. They would drive to Florida. He would drive to see the brothers or whatever. Yes. And so he would often say that, you know, we sung around together in high school together, then Chicago and different places. But the ultimate goal was, you know, my husband went out on the limb one time and started singing blues with Coco Taylor down Danny Everett. And he said, but one night standing, one night standing on the stage, his father spoke to him and told him, this is not how I raised you all. Mm. You need to go back. And he said he went to the manager of the facility that night and told him, this is my last night. I'm going back to my roots. And that was the gospel. Mm-hmm. That was the gospel. That was the gospel. And so I would say, like Arthur told you a few minutes ago, to all of, I sing gospel myself, but let it be real.
Right.
Because we're living in a day and age and time now that everything has to be real. Because if we don't, then that's when Satan comes in. And if you want to make it, the Soul Stirrers, I feel like, have survived all these years because they were singing for the Lord and made sure that. And I remember Arthur telling me many times, we went into towns, there was money, and sometimes there wasn't money, but we sung anyhow. And I remember one promoter down here, not far from here, said that you could always count on Arthur Kroon and the Soul Stirrers because if the money was short, they would still show up.
I'm glad you said that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, I was just saying I'm grateful to be a part of the legacy that they had left. I'm very grateful for it.
She played drums on a couple of programs.
I used to play drums for them, one or two shows for them, and it was very memorable experience.
Oh, yes. At this point, I meant to mention that about Mr. Dilla Kroon, because I was having to be browsing on YouTube one day. I was looking, I said, man, that looked like Dilla Kroon playing guitar for, I think, Hound Dog Taylor.
Big history. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the harmonica player, Little Walter.
I tell you, I wish I'd had this broadcast when all three of them was alive. That'd have been some interview.
Would have been very awesome. Yes.
Arthur, Leroy, and Dylan at the same time. I could. But I want to thank y'all for making this happen. And however y'all may be listening to the Raw Spiel, I want to thank you for tuning in. And I hope y'all got some out of this list. Hope y'all got some out of this broadcast. And until next time, God bless you all.
God bless you too, Mr. Robinson.
Thank you. Bye-bye. If you only trust him, he'll place your feet down. I know he will. On high your ground. Just look to Jesus.